Okay, this is a verse with long, maybe you should come forward a little bit, because the letters are small. It's good. Long meter, so good luck. Can you see from there? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Daksha Uvacha. Bhuyan Anugraha Aho. Bhuvata kratome,
Bhuyan
anugraha aho, Bhavata krahome, Dandas tvayama ibrato, Yadapi palabdaha,
Dandas tvayama ibrato,
Na brahma bandhu shuchavam bhagavan avagya,
Na brahma bandhu shuchavam bhagavan avagya,
Dubhyam harischa kuta evat, Dhritavrateshu Daksha Uvacha Bhuyan Anugraha Aho Bhavata Kratome Dandas Tvaya Mayi Brito Yad Api Pralabdaha Na brahma bandhu shuchavam bhagavan avagya. Tuvyam harischa kuta eva dhrita vrateshu. Daksha uvacha. King Daksha said, Bhuyan, very great. Anugraha, favor. Aho, alas. Bhavata, by you. Kritaha, done. Me, unto me. Dandaha, punishment. Tvaya, by you. Mayi, unto me. Taha done. Yat api, although pralabdaha, defeated. Na, neither. Brahma bandhusho, unto an unqualified Brahmana. Cha, also. Vam, both of you. Bhagavan, my Lord. Avagya, negligence. Tubhyam, of you. Harecha, of Lord Vishnu. Kutaha, where? Eva, certainly. Vritavrateshu, one who is engaged in the performance of sacrifice. Translation. King Daksha said, my dear Lord Shiva, I have committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me. You and Lord Vishnu never neglect even useless, unqualified brahmanas. Why then should you neglect me who am engaged in performing sacrifices? Report, Mr. Prabhupada. Although Daksha felt defeated, he knew that his punishment was simply the great mercy of Lord Shiva. He remembered that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are never neglectful of the Brahmanas, even though the Brahmanas are sometimes unqualified. According to Vedic civilization, a descendant of a Brahmana family should never be heavily punished. This was exemplified in Arjuna's treatment of Ashwatthama. Ashvatthama was the son of a great brahmana, Dronacharya, and in spite of his having committed the great offense of killing all the sleeping sons of the Pandavas, for which he was condemned even by Lord Krishna, Arjuna excused him by not killing him because he happened to be the son of a brahmana. The word Brahma Bandhushu used here is significant. Brahma Bandhu means a person who is born of a brahmana father, but whose activities are not up to the standard of the brahmanas. Such a person is not a brahmana, but a Brahma Bandhu. Daksha proved himself to be a Brahma Bandhu. He was born of a great brahmana father, Lord Brahma, but his treatment of Lord Shiva was not exactly brahminical. Therefore, Daksha admitted that he was not a perfect brahmana. Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, however, are affectionate even to an imperfect brahmana. Lord Shiva punished Daksha not as one does his enemy. Rather, he punished Daksha just to bring him to his senses so that he would know that he had done wrong. Daksha could understand this, and he acknowledged the great mercy of Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva towards the fallen brahmanas, including even himself. Although he was fallen, his vow was to execute the sacrifice, and as is the duty of a brahmana, and thus he began his prayers to Lord Shiva. So there are two verses just before this verse that have no purport, so I'll read them also. I'll read yesterday's verse also, starting with text 10. At that time is Lord Shiva standing before Daksha. And Daksha's got a goat's head. And he's had this aha experience, like, I get it, I made a big mistake. I offended Lord Shiva, now here's Lord Shiva standing before him. When Daksha saw Lord Shiva, who rides upon a bull, his heart, which was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, was immediately cleansed, just as the water of a lake is cleansed by autumn rains. Text 11. King Daksha wanted to offer prayers to Lord Shiva, but as he remembered the ill-fated death of his daughter, Daksha's daughter, Sati, his eyes filled with tears, and in bereavement, his daughter Sati gave up her life by entering into fire. In bereavement, his voice choked up, and he could not say anything. Text 12. At that time, King Daksha, afflicted by love and affection, was very much awakened to his real senses. With great endeavor, he pacified his mind, checked his feelings, and with pure consciousness, he began to offer prayers to Lord Shiva. And this is the first of his prayers. Translation again for this one. King Daksha said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I have committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me. You and Lord Vishnu never neglect even useless, unqualified brahmanas. Why then should you neglect me, who am engaged in performing sacrifices?" So one way to take what he's saying is, as Prabhupada is presenting here, I am amongst the useless, fallen persons. And another way to take it is, there are those that are useless and fallen, and I'm a little bit above the useless and fallen, because I do sacrifices. So if you don't neglect the Brahma Bandhus, then why would you neglect me? Because I'm above them. In any case, he's certainly humbled. Walking around with a goat's head would humble anybody, I think. There's a word in text 12 that I want to draw attention to. The word is nirvyalika. Very nice word. Nirvyalikena. Without duplicity. Avyalika and nirvyalika. They both mean the same thing. Without duplicity. Say it positively, it's sincere. And the opposite of sincere is duplicity. You say one thing, you mean another thing. Duplicity. And nobody likes duplicity. Say one thing, do another thing. Sincere, the etymology of that word comes from a Latin word that has to do with, I forget exactly what the root is, but it's in reference to marble that doesn't have streaks in it. So, I don't know so much about marble, but I was at our meeting in Mayapur. There was a report from the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and the person in charge, his name is Sadbuj, he said, those of you from India, the Makrana marble resource place doesn't have pure white marble anymore. They have enough for deities, but not for construction. Because what they have is, plenty of, is the marble that has streaks in it. But that's very common. Like, these marble tiles here. There's on the altar and on the floor, there's different colorations, and they're attractive. But the pure white or black, where there's no lines, so there's a Latin word that indicates that there's no line, there's no mixing, there's not anything else. So and that's considered very high quality marble. So there's a word for that. That kind. Sire, something like that. Tin sire, without lines. So, sincere is derived from that root where in the heart there's not a mix. Pure. And even if intention is sincere, I may be covered. Not maybe covered. We're covered. But if we're sincere, then it means at least in principle we accept a standard of pure devotional service. And everything for Krishna, I call it the one pocket program. The two pocket program is so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna. It's like a mantra. Me, me, Krishna, Krishna. Sincere is one pocket. Everything for Krishna. Everything. Everything, everything. Everything for Krishna. At least I wish to come to that standard. And that's the position from which Daksha was offering his prayers. There's three levels of, like, lifting of coverings. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have any coverings left. It says that, you know, at least at this moment, he's very sincere. Nirvilika, without duplicity. So, getting his new head put on, that was a realization that he made a big mistake. Seeing Lord Shiva, there was another purification. That's yesterday's verse. Then there's this other level where he's thinking of his daughter, that because of his envy of Lord Shiva, his own daughter, Daksha's own daughter, entered into fire. Her statement was, there's only one connection between you and me, and that's this body, so I give up this body, and here I go into the fire. So she was pretty staunch, very fixed on, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But it wasn't, she didn't directly hurt him, it was, I don't want to have this connection with you. Burn my body. So, the king, third level of his regret or repentance, was the affection that he felt for his daughter. But he had overlooked the affection for his daughter. He was overwhelmed by his envy of his daughter's husband, Lord Shiva. And because of that envy, it just eclipsed his affection. Now, the respect for Lord Shiva has elevated him, and now he's going deeply into this mood of bereavement out of love and affection for his daughter, who's now departed from him because of his envy. So it's removing further that propensity or the quality of envy in his heart. With pure consciousness, he began to offer prayers to Lord Shiva, at least the pure consciousness of Nirvilika, without duplicity, and with genuine appreciation and regard for Lord Shiva. No duplicity. So that's the starting point. Then, he's acknowledging that he made a big offense explicitly. He's not just in his mind. It starts with our own recognition. If we make some mistake, there's this realization. Something like what happened to Maharaj Parikshit. After what Maharaj Parikshit did with the sage Shamakrishi was induced by the personality of Godhead, because Maharaj Parikshit is a pure devotee. He doesn't become overwhelmed with thirst and then overwhelmed with anger. Oh, you didn't honor me, and then disgrace another person the way that he did. It's just not Maharaj Parikshit. But having done that, as he was leaving the hermitage of Shamakrishi, he had his moment. I've done something very bad. And as he was heading back for the palace, he knew in his heart, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get a big reaction for this offense to a brahmana. Kshatriyas, religious kings, they honor brahmanas. They don't do what he did. In the context here, even if the brahmana had not observed proper etiquette to honor the king, even if he's not behaving like a brahmana, in this case, the brahmana didn't stand and give his words of respect to the king who's come to his cottage, because he was in samadhi. It wasn't just, you know, feigning meditation. I don't want to talk to the king. I'll just pretend I'm... He was literally in trance of meditation. So he wasn't in a position to respond. What to speak of what Ashvatthama did, cut off the heads of the sleeping sons of the Pandavas in the middle of the night. And Arjuna excused him. I mean, took a little persuasion, but he excused Ashvatthama. So, what to speak of? And here's the grandson of Arjuna, literally the grandson of Arjuna, having done this offense to the king. For what? So here's the brahmana is to be excused. But he understood some reaction is going to come. Sure enough, some reaction came. And he accepted the reaction. Maharaj Parikshit. So Daksha similarly he didn't have a choice. He accepted the reaction. He lost his head and got another one. And so from that same now goat's head, he's speaking through the mouth of the goat, but with the consciousness of a human being, which, you know, scientifically says something about where's consciousness. It's not the brain. It's something else. Daksha's evidence of that. It's the soul, it's consciousness. And so the message, first message is acknowledgement of my mistake. Very serious offense. The next statement was, your mercy was shown by not withdrawing your mercy, because that's neglect. Deliberate neglect would have been more severe than, rather than withdraw my mercy, I, Lord Shiva, need to do something appropriate for my father-in-law, in this case, Daksha, that will help him come to his senses. He's just overcome with envy. So I'll do something for the purpose of helping him overcome his envy. He didn't exactly do it directly. He didn't create Virabhadra and say, you know, get him. He created Virabhadra and Virabhadra got him. Virabhadra stopped He destroyed the followers of Daksha, and then he went after Daksha, because the followers were just following their leader, and the leader was the one that was the cause of the disturbance. So we're not Lord Shiva, and we're not a great personality, so we should be very cautious about imitating a great personality. But at least we have choices when someone has done something that's an offense. There are choices of what we can do. One thing is just withdraw yourself completely from that person. Sometimes that's appropriate. If you're a very qualified person like Lord Shiva, you continue to give your mercy. And the continue to give mercy isn't necessarily, you know, some retribution, that kind of punishment. There are other things to be done, like what Arjuna did with Ashvatthama. He cut off all of his hair, except little patches. It looked funny. But, you know, his hair grows back. But it was an appropriate for the circumstance. He had committed murder, 5 murders, and other things that were just heinous. So something from the position of Kshatriya, something was to be done, and something was done. Now, in our case, we're not Kshatriyas. We're not, you know, the protectors of tranquility and peace in the world. Not our job description. Something, if the mood, here's the most important, besides the particular behavior, the mood of interacting with someone that has done something hurtful,
and perhaps even malicious, deliberately hurtful, what is to be done? Consider what we should do is consider the other individual and what their makeup is, and what can be done to assist that person to be in a mood of service. It's very powerful. I won't go into the details, but recently had an experience where someone did something that was weird and just mindless, and it was hurtful. So my consideration was, why did they do this? I was inspired by there's a saying that says, if you knew the pain and suffering of another individual, you can easily forgive them for their transgressions. Because the pain and suffering that someone is undergoing is the reason for their behaving in a way that's mindless. They're feeling hurt and frustrated and angry, and they do something. So the something that is not, all that something's okay. The something is not okay, but what's behind that something? Some pain, some something that's causing them to behave this embarrassing way. So the individual was embarrassed, but you know, it was the act was done and what to do. So I chose to just help the person, you know, find out what was it that's troubling them. Not like, why did you do this? Because then it would begin to this, you know, cross-examination. Put them on a witness stand and, you did it. No, I didn't do it. Well, let's go through the details. Yeah, you did it. Yeah, you did it. Yeah. So it ended up with, they felt relieved. They weren't attacked and slapped around, and they felt more, I want to do things differently going into the future, than just, you know, feel defensive and somebody's got a stick in their hand, and so I don't want to get whacked by the stick, and so I'm not going to do it because I don't get whacked by the stick. But, you know, I want to be a better person. Anyway, it helped in that decent little exchange. The consciousness, so once again, consciousness, when you are wronged, if that happens, maybe sometime in your life that will happen, and it, you know, first thing is you look inside yourself. What's inside my, what's over here that's needs to be cleaned? And then in the relationship with the other person, what can I do that can be of service to this other person? Considering their circumstance, what can be done from my side? At least just the volition is, I want to be of service to this other person. What is best? And since we're not kshatriyas, we don't have swords and, you know, do those kinds of things. What's best? How can I be of service? Just that very thought, it drives away anger and all kinds of contaminations on our side. In other words, we don't have to buy into being sucked into the material energy and just part of the perpetuating cycle of, you know, instruments of one another's karma, but rather be an instrument of Krishna and in service to Krishna. What can be done that's elevating for the soul and, you know, as much as we can, the circumstances of one's life? Anyway, in this case, Lord Shiva made the determination that the offense was so grave, but not just to him, but that Sati had been hurt very, very deeply, enough that she gave up her life. So this Daksha is too much envious and proud and has to be curbed. So Daksha is recognizing, you didn't just withdraw your mercy You gave your mercy in the form of appropriate punishment. Look at this head. Goat head. And then another element here is it's not just you, but you are behaving like Lord Vishnu. Where is it? Vam Bhagavan Avagya. Vam means to, and Bhagavan is specifically Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Avagya. Persons like me, you don't neglect. Brahma Bandhushu. In the ten offenses against the chanting of the holy name, the two of them, they sound very similar, but the Sanskrit is different. Sadhu Ninda, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Ninda means offending. So someone was asking, what does that mean, offending? So sadhu ninda, and then guru avagya. Avagya, this word, means to neglect. So for a Vaishnav or sadhu, we shouldn't vilify, yeah, it was yesterday evening, vilify, speak criticisms of a Vaishnav. Engage in the art of fault finding. That's offense against the holy name. But another is this one, when the instructions of the spiritual master are given, to neglect them. Avagya. So, Lord Shiva is saying, you and Lord Vishnu don't neglect. Na Brahma Bandhushu. Cha Bam. Both you and Lord Vishnu don't neglect the Brahma Bandhus. That is, you continue to show mercy. You don't withdraw your mercy, you continue to show mercy. To withdraw one's mercy, it's not like get out of here. Something like what Ishwara Puri said to Ramchandra Puri, when Ramchandra Puri was criticizing Ishwara Puri, he said, get out. No, Madhavendra Puri to Ramchandra Puri, I don't want to see your face. If I see your face when I die, I'll go to hell. So go wherever you want to go, just don't come before me ever again. That's withdrawing mercy. I remember there was one time, a little historical event, where there was one devotee, John Madagni, who was living in Los Angeles, and he and some others had started a Gopi Baba club, and you know, the devotees were very disturbed, but he was, you know, I've got the nectar. And they started having these little secret Gopi Baba club gatherings. Prabhupada came to Los Angeles and called the leader of that little group and said, you know, you're no longer my disciple. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, the spiritual master is very merciful. And he said, yes, you are no longer my disciple. You know, it was, and one of the devotees that was in the room said it was like there was a little thin thread connecting the devotee to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada cut the thread. Like, you know, an astronaut, you cut the oxygen line, and he's floating around in space somewhere. He said that the devotee, Radha Balava, told me, he said that's what it felt like. Just Prabhupada went, So, Avagya, that Lord Vishnu, that the offense was so, Prabhupada considered it so grievous. And he never went back and said, oh, you know, I accept you again. There's another historical situation where a devotee named Nittai, who was a Sanskritist, Prabhupada warned him, don't go reading so many books because you're now a Sanskritist. So he neglected the instruction of his spiritual master and started reading so many books and started getting interested in bogus teachings. And then he went and asked Prabhupada, could I have your permission to accept another spiritual master besides you? And Prabhupada basically said, get out of here. But something I didn't know, that later Prabhupada wrote to him and asked him to correct himself. You know, so he extended his mercy again. But anyway, those are some ISKCON lore. Daksha is appreciating that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, even in the case of those that don't behave like brahmanas should behave, they don't withdraw their mercy. And they may show their mercy in some other way. In this case, an appropriate punishment or a strong punishment. But the purpose of the punishment or the act was to bring him to his senses. And it worked. Because Lord Shiva is very powerful. And that brought Daksha to his senses. Sometimes calamities work that way. Situations arise where it's those false shelters that we take are removed. And when those false shelters that we habitually cling to are removed, what do you do? It's a free fall. And then, with feeling, you can call out to Krishna, Akinchana, Gochara. Queen Kunti speaks like that in her prayers. One who has material shelters or thinks they have material shelters, they can't feelingly call. But those that have, not just, you know, the calamity happens, but by consciousness, their consciousness is absorbed in no shelter but Krishna. This Nirvilika phrase again. Non-duplicitous. Genuine feelings of shelter. That's it's a good position, whether there's a calamity or not a calamity. So the external looks, oh, it's calamity. Or it looks, oh, this is very nice. But whether it's calamity or very nice, the important thing is the consciousness behind that we're carrying. Oh, Krishna, just like Sudama, when he was leaving after visiting Krishna in Dwarka, as he was going home, he thought to himself, Krishna is very kind. I came for some motivation to ask Krishna for some financial something. And Krishna knew because he's omniscient. He didn't even ask why I came. Because if he had asked why I came, then he would have given. And then when I got something from Krishna, I would have become too proud. Oh, look at me. I've got Krishna's special deal here. So Krishna didn't ask. Krishna's very kind. Krishna's very kind. He was still with nothing. And then he went back and to his home that he didn't see his home. So a big palace and so forth. And when his wife explained, oh, I assumed that Krishna, you had asked Krishna and Krishna made this magic happen. Instead of our little cottage, there's this palace. And Sudama was thinking, Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. So, with or without, or you know, this situation, whatever the external duality is that's going on, the essence, the message of pure devotion is, take full shelter of the personality of Godhead. And sometimes situations are created where all the false shelters are taken away. Ultimately, that's going to happen at the time of death. Whatever it is that we've created and generated and think, it's gone. And then what happens? Panic. That we need to practice cultivating, taking shelter of eternal and not take shelter of the temporary. Do the temporary responsibly and conscientiously and so forth, and cultivate taking shelter of the eternal. I'm going to read again one sentence from the purport. Lord Shiva punished Daksha not as one does his enemy. Rather, he punished Daksha just to bring him to his senses so that he would know that he had done wrong. Because someone that's really hard-hearted like Daksha was, even when Daksha left the assembly and there was this big uproar and so forth, he was thinking, you know, I'm right, they're wrong. We've all seen it. Somebody does something very foolish and the person that does something foolish thinks, I'm right, and they're wrong. It goes on all the time. So there's no question, I'm right, they're wrong. This offense was not forgivable. Daksha could understand this and acknowledge the great mercy of Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva toward the fallen brahmanas, including even himself. Although he was fallen, his vow was to execute the sacrifice. So while all this is going on, big conflagration between the followers of Daksha and the followers of Lord Shiva, what was supposed to happen was a yajna. So he's ready to go on with the yajna with the goat's head on his shoulders. His vow, his commitment is to do his brahminical duty. And that's what happens. Tubhyam haresh cha kuta eva dhrita vrateshu. Dhrita vrata. With great vow, great determination, he wants to carry out his brahminical duty. Now in a little bit different consciousness than when he started, by the arrangements of Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna. So, and there, see if there's some questions. Go right ahead. First one.
Wondering, like, this verse says, like, you know, Lord Shiva punished Daksha to bring to his senses.
Yeah.
So that's how he gives the punishment, and also to his source of his mercy. And both of them are like, Lord Shiva is like, so, yeah.
Both of them are?
I mean, they are elevated persons.
Both of them are elevated, yeah.
So I was just thinking of the practical for here, we are not like.
Yeah, we're not Daksha, we're not Krishna, we're not Lord Shiva.
So for us, in order to make either it is devotees association or the families, in both the cases, like we sometimes we come across different situations.
Sure.
So how to we cannot punish them. So how to make them to realize what we do?
You can't make anybody anything.
Okay.
You can be in the mood of service. That's what you can do. If nothing comes from Super Soul or some other source, what should I do? And it, you know, it still is a blank to be filled in. Be in that mood. Be in the mood of service. And just being in the mood of service is beneficial. You can then be an instrument. Even you don't take a particular action or say a particular thing. You're more an instrument of the internal energy. Whatever might happen. And something may inspire you, and maybe you want to think twice or thrice or 10 times about, is this appropriate in the circumstance? But be in that mood for sure. And you practice being in that mood, and gradually, you know, the light comes on. Krishna gives intelligence. How to? And life is a continuing development of something that you cultivate. How to be an instrument of the internal energy of Krishna. How to be an agent of elevation of consciousness. Not just, I want to change that behavior to this behavior. Just elevation of consciousness. Let that person be inspired by Krishna. What behavior? In some cases. Rather than, you know, move them into... The other mentality is illusion. Nakartritvam nakarmani lokesha srijate prabhu. One should never think that I'm the performer of activity, I am the performer, I'm creating the results of my activity, or I'm inducing others to act. Don't think like that. That's maya. Rather, it's Prakriti is doing all those things. So, but Prakriti is controlled by Supersoul. So connect your consciousness to Supersoul. How can I be of service in this circumstance? Service that will elevate. Service that can be of according to your interest. It's the spiritual energy. The internal potency is more powerful than the external energy. So be an agent of the internal energy. That's my answer. And the detail is circumstance. It's different circumstances are different. Yes?
How do you render service?
How do you do what?
Render service.
How do you render service?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I mean, like, when you say you're supposed to think about Krishna all day, right? But how do you render service to him? Like,
well, it's the mind. There's a Sankhya teaching, a Sankhya philosophy that says consciousness is now covered by a subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, covered by a gross body. So when the subtle body says, at least in principle, in practice, I want to serve Krishna, then there's working senses and knowledge acquiring senses. Working senses, hands, legs, you know, we have senses that do things. So the senses are connected to the mind, which are connected to consciousness. So if you're thinking of Krishna, what's pleasing to Krishna? You're contemplating in your mind. What would be pleasing to Krishna? And then your senses are connected to the mind. The speech may be connected, or the hands may be connected, or the legs may be connected. There's working senses. So we do a service based on a desire to please Krishna. That's the foundation. Thinking of Krishna means how to best serve him. And so that's contemplated with the subtle body. And then the intelligence starts to work. How to get this pleasing to Krishna thing accomplished. And the intelligence drives. And the passenger is the soul. The soul says, I want to go to Krishna. And then the intelligence is the driver, and the mind is the reins, and the horses are the senses, and that's how you do service. It's I don't know if you're satisfied with the answer, but it's practical application of something that happens deep on the soul level, then on the subtle level, and then on the action level. That's how you do devotional service. It starts with this understanding that I really am spirit soul, and as spirit soul, I meant to please Krishna. That's who I am. That's my reason for existence. Like, who am I, and why do I exist, and what am I supposed to do with this human form of life? Serve Krishna. With that conviction, then the rest follows. Yes?
That's my rest. How is it that self-realized, purified souls like Arjuna and Parikshit, knowing the consequences of their actions, carry out the action anyhow, like Arjuna became bewildered at the time.
The answer is Krishna induces them. Krishna had a purpose. One, in the case of Arjuna, Krishna wanted to speak Bhagavad Gita. So he put his devotee in a situation where he could speak to his devotee. And Krishna induced Arjuna to become bewildered. What's my duty? Krishna induced it. And in the case of the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken, it was time for the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Krishna had departed, it was time for Srimad Bhagavatam to appear. So Krishna's plan was Shukadev Goswami should speak it to a qualified person. So the qualified person was the king. So Krishna induced Maharaj Parikshit to do something that was completely unnatural for Maharaj Parikshit. He was perfectly sense-controlled. Perfect. And he induced him to be different. So that Shukadeva Goswami could speak Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So that we could today, thousands of years later, we can benefit. Krishna induced that to happen. That's how it happened. Yes?
Here, Daksha had committed a great grave offense. Mm. He's offended the greatest Vaishnava.
Mm.
And yet he was the cause of his daughter's death. And created such a big havoc.
Yep.
Still, he could find a good quality in him by saying Tridam Rata. So in that situation, how could he, put forth that I am a Tridam Rata like that?
There's still some pride in his heart. That's what he's holding. That's one of the things he's still holding on to. But, he's being honest about it. I've got this determination to perform the yajna, so you're making the arrangement so I can now continue to perform the yajna. You gave me a goat's head. And through the goat's head, he said all the mantras.
So he was born again.
Yes. Yeah. Daksha part 2. The son of the Prachetas and what's her name? The moon god arranged for a queen or a wife for them to marry. And Daksha was born. Lal Gopal, you had something? No. Someone else? Okay, I thought I saw a hand up. Over here? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.